لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. واللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين. We were talking about the imamate and the why we stand in need of the imam, and we discussed about three reasons already. التكامل المعنوي is the metaphysical and spiritual perfection, and حفظ الشريعة والكتب والكتاب, protecting of the Sharia and the book, and third of all was the leadership and imamat and walayat, and fourth and the last reason, fourth reason among the most significant reasons is why we need an imam is necessity of fulfilling the hujjat and evidence. Luzum itmam al-hujjah. It is compulsory that the, according to the wisdom of Allah, to fulfill the hujjat and evidence on all the people. Allah wants the evidences to be fulfilled on everyone. So tomorrow on the day, through the imams after the Holy Prophet, when Prophet passes away, there has to be imams who are continuing the same job, protecting the same Sharia, protecting the same book, practicing the same book to its fullest, promoting, preaching, implementing the same Kitab and Sharia, just like the Holy Prophet used to practice and promote, in the same power and strength for the those of the humans who are living after the Holy Prophet. They also need Itmam al-Hujjat. Later generations who are born after the departure of the Prophet, they also require that the evidence of Allah, divine hujjat, need to be fulfilled upon them the way the humans who were living in the time of Rasulullah wanted the divine evidence to be fulfilled for them. So we are humans just like the humans in the time of Rasulullah. We are no different from them in terms of the spiritual needs. So we find that it's the wisdom of Allah that He wants to do itmam al-hujjah. That means fulfilling of the evidence for all those humans who were born after the Holy Prophet through the Imams, by sending the Imams one after the other, so no one can say on the Day of Judgment, I didn't know. So Allah doesn't want anybody to say tomorrow on the Day of Judgment in front of Allah that I did not know. This is one of the major reasons why we human beings stand in need of an imam. So the question arises, so look at the ayat of Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rusulan. Mubashirina wa munzirina. لألا يكون للناس على الله حجة بعد الرسل. Surah An-Nisa, verse 115. So we learn in light of this verse that Allah has been sending the Allah sends the prophets of the messengers to give the glad tidings, basharat, and to warn the people. Inzar means warning. So a prophet, the jobs of the messengers was to do the good, give the good news, the glad tidings, basharat, and to warn the people. So giving good news and warning the people. Basharat, tabshir, and inzar, the two basic principles of Allah. And this is what works with human psychology. We obey anything for two good reasons. Either because we find some benefits, there's a good glad tidings, good news, good benefits waiting for us, good interests. So we find the sawab and rewards in paradise. Or we have some bad news, some warning. So if we don't do that, then we will end up facing this. We have punishments, we have torments in adab and jahannam. That's how the human psychology works, you know. You buckle up because it saves lives. Don't they ride on this freeway? Buckle up because it saves lives. So this is the basharat, good news, it will save your life. One incentive. Second incentive, it's the law, $201 penalty. You write down the penalty in different states, it's different penalty. One is the inzar and one is the tabshir. One is the good news, it saves lives. One incentive, one muharrik for you to accept. Other one is inzar, is a warning. If you don't do that, then this is going to happen to you. So, لَأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Sorry, I missed the word Allah.
عَلَى اللَّهِ. لَأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ.
So that people have no hujjat after the messenger. Allah doesn't want any hujjat in the hands of the people against Allah. Allah wants all the hujjats to be fulfilled right now, so tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, people have no hujjat remaining against Allah to say, well, this information I was never told, otherwise I would have accepted it and behaved very well and did ita'at. Because nobody told me, so if I didn't do right, it's not my mistake because nobody told me. So itmam al-hujjat is a constant sunnat of Allah. Allah always performs itmam al-hujjat in the people. So after the departure of Rasulullah, we humans require itmam al-hujjat equally, just like the humans in the time of any Rasul require that. So the imams, the benefit of having imams is that the hujjat of Allah is completely fulfilled, just like the hujjat is fulfilled in the time of a Rasul. So the benefit of that,
the promise of Allah regarding punishment. And punishment is or will not be without reason.
This is the benefit of sending the imam. All the promises that Allah has made. If you do this, this is going to happen. You know, if you misbehave, if you do ma'siyat, if you sin, this is the azab. So all the warnings in zar and information that Allah said, that the promises that Allah made, that this punishment is going to happen, this punishment is going to happen. Let me not use the word promise. I think in English it's not suitable to use the word promise, because it is suitable to use the word promises of Allah for the sawab. It makes sense for the rewards. But when we are talking about the punishments, and that's where in Arabic we use the word wa'ad, the promises. When we are talking about the punishments, we better use the word warnings that Allah has issued. We use the word wa'id in
Arabic for that.
So there's a wa'ad and promise for the sawab, and there's a wa'id and threat and warnings of from Allah regarding His punishments if we misbehave. So all those warnings that Allah has issued, the threats that He has issued, which are real, if you misbehave, this is going to happen. These warnings of Allah will be without a reason if He doesn't send an imam. If He sends the imam, then there is a reason, so nobody can argue with Allah any longer, because the imam is there, He is there to inform you, this is haram, if you do this, this is going to happen. So there is a, now there is a reason for Allah to punish, because you were informed, but you misbehaved.
So this is the whole concept of Itmam al-Hujjah. Now let's go back to the word Hujjah itself, what the word Hujjah means in Arabic. Hujjah literally means an evidence, but in terms of ilm al-kalam, hujjat means it can be in two ways, ma yahtajju bihin nas ala Allah وما يحتج به الله على الناس.
It can be two ways. The first way is impossible to happen. Theoretically, it can be in two ways, but that's a theory. Practically, this is impossible to happen. Anything with which my This is one possible meaning of the word Hujjah. Anything with which the people can argue against Allah, they can make a point against Allah. People can never make their point against Allah, because Allah will always do the Itmam al-Hujjah, fulfill the evidence, and leave no room for the people to argue and to debate and to say, you never told us. Allah never will do that, and He never does that. So there is no room for the people to argue against Allah. This theoretically we are discussing, but practically it's impossible to happen. It's impossible. But this is one possible meaning of the terminology of Hujjah. And the second meaning possible is that ma yahtajju bihi Allah, anything with which Allah can argue against the people. So Allah has everything in His hand, because He is sending the prophets, He is sending the books, He is sending the imams. These are the outer evidences, hujjatun zahira, and then we have hujjatun batina, which is, hujjats are of two types, zahira wa batina. Inna lillahi ala nasi hujjatain. In the hadith of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two hujjats against the people, hujjatan zahira wa hujjatan batina. So there are apparent hujjats and evidences of Allah, and there are hidden evidences and hujjats of Allah. The apparent evidences in Islam are al-rusul, the messengers or the prophets, anbiya, and al-a'imma, and Al-Kutub, and the books. These are the open, obvious, manifest evidences. And there are hidden evidences of Allah. وَأَمَّا الْبَاطِنَ فَالْعُقُولِ. The hidden evidences is the aql and intellect. So everybody has been given the intellect from the inside. And also we can add the word fitrat, is also a hidden evidence, but it's from the inside as well. But you know, aql is usually mentioned as alone evidence from the batin, not the fitrah. So basically, aql is there from the inside. That's a divine evidence, divine hujjat, which is batin, found in every human being, built in by virtue of his creation.
So, and from the outside, so these are the outside, outer evidences, outer hujjats, and these are the inner hujjat of Allah. So, the outer and the inner hujjat are all in sync. In the middle, the desires, hawa nafs, the desires come to play the role. Hawa, the desires of the people come and play the role, and they block the aql and they stop the aql to obey the teachings of the prophets and messengers and the imams and books, which is in sync with the inner format of the human existence. So outer hujjat and inner hujjat are all in sync. So the desires make disturb the format and don't let the person to obey the outer evidences. So basically, Allah fulfilled all the evidences. So Allah can argue, Allah can debate, Allah can make his point. Ihtijaj means putting your evidence in front of somebody. Allah can put his evidence against the people on the day of judgment, you know, because of the fact that he has already sent the messengers and the prophets and the imams and the books, and he has already from the inside provided the intellect, which was by creation, by birth, in sync with the teachings of the prophets and messengers and imams and the books. So there was no room for the people to disobey now, and they have been told what they were supposed to do. The people cannot argue, people cannot put their hujjat and evidence in front against Allah on the day of judgment, because Allah already told them what they were supposed to know. The only thing remaining was to practice. So this is how hujjat is a thing which works from both the ways, theoretically. So Allah wants that there is no excuse. The concept of hujjat is that it kills the excuse. So there is no more excuse remaining that any human can furnish tomorrow on the day of judgment. Well, this is my excuse, that this is why I could not do ita'at, I could not obey you. It kills the excuse. There is no excuse remaining, because Allah is fulfilling the hujjat. When Allah fulfills, there is no room for any excuse. So now that the excuses are killed, evidence is full, because the evidence is fulfilled, what happens? The benefit, number two, of the hujjat, after it kills the evidence, you know, in addition to the fact that it kills the evidence, that benefit number two, it converts every jahil and ignorant into alim. Alim bil hukum. Every ignorant person about the rulings is converted through the fulfillment of the evidences into a knowledgeable person about the hukum. Alim bil hukum. So nobody can say, I didn't know, because the evidence is fulfilled. Now you know what you were supposed to do. Second, so jahil is converted into alim, and every alim, Allah wishes, through the process of itmam al-hujjah, Allah wants that every alim, every knowledgeable, gets converted into Ahlul Yaqeen. That means he ends up having the yaqeen and certitude. This is what Allah wants by fulfilling of the evidence. Excuse gets killed, there is no excuse for disobedience. Every jahil, every ignorant gets converted into knowledgeable. And every knowledgeable person who is already knowledgeable has the opportunity and the potential to get converted into Ahlul Yaqeen. He gets stronger in his ilm, starts practicing, and because of his strength in knowledge and practice, he has becomes it have to have itminan and yaqeen, and becomes Ahlul Yaqeen. This is what Allah wants. So that's the fourth evidence, and then we discuss, is that clear? Now we have the fifth and the last evidences
fifth and the last most important evidence. We are just talking about the most important things. Of course, we cannot talk about all the details. Fifth evidence about why we stand in need of an imam after the prophet is because the imam is wasitatul faith, that means of transferring of all the divine blessings to the entire universe. Not just the humans, entire universe. Imam is the imam of the stars and the animals and the fishes and the birds and the angels and planets and everything that you can imagine. Everything, he's the imam of everything. Imamul Kul. He is the Imamul Kul. He's the leader of all. Leader of all. Not only the humans. So everything. So everything is getting the everything needs blessings of Allah to survive and to sustain, and the blessings need to come. Allah has there. It says in the Hadith al-Qudsi are those of the statements of Allah that He talked to His Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the conversations that took place between the Prophet and Allah, but they were not part of the Holy Quran. So these are Hadith al-Qudsi. And so they are not mu'jiza. Quran is a mu'jiza and miracle. Hadith al-Qudsi is not a miracle. Other conversations that took place between Allah and the Rasulullah and His Messenger. So in Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to the Prophet that I apologize. This one is the Hadith of Rasulullah. This is not Hadith al-Qudsi. This is the Hadith of Rasulullah himself, that Aballahu an yujri al-umur. Aballahu an yujri al-umur. Illa bi asbabiha. The hadith. Allah rejects. Aballah means Allah rejects to execute the affairs except through its means and causes. That means Allah runs the whole universe with the concept of cause and effect. This is what we understand. Cause and effect. Illat and ma'lul, sabab and musabbab. So there has to be a cause in order to achieve an effect. That's how Allah created. It's His own principle. He made it like this. So all the things, all the affairs, Allah is running all the affairs of the universe through certain causes. And Allah rejects to run the affairs without the causes. That's the principle of Allah. That's one of the basic sunnats and traditions of Allah. He never executes any matter in the universe without His cause. And He Himself has created the causes. He Himself set this principle.
and he is the, we call him illatul ilal. He is the cause of all causes. And he is the musabbibul asbab, which means he is the one who arranges all the causes so that that can become the cause. He arranges all the causes so that it can serve as a cause. And he is also Khaliqul Asbab. Allah is the creator of all the causes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the cause of all the causes. He was the one who arranges all the causes to become a cause and serve as a cause to bring the effect. To bring about the effect, and he is the one who creates the causes.
So, but that's the way he himself has done. That's his own principle. He's running the universe like this.
And maybe one of the reasons, Ihtimalan, is that if the cause and effect theory is shattered, how would the simple-minded people end up learning about Allah? Because we learn about Allah, simple-minded people learn about Allah through the effects. Isn't that right? They see the effects. That's how they learn. There has to be a cause. So the universe needs to have a creator. There's the simplest way how people can discover and end up believing in Tawheed and oneness of Allah. So he's running the universe like this.
So when Allah is running the entire universe like this, so all the blessings of Allah, all the things that he is performing, executing, are he is doing through certain causes that he himself arranged, he himself created, and he himself is the real cause behind it. He is the illatul of all the illal, real cause behind it, the original cause, and he is the musabbib, the one who is arranging the causality theory, and he is the creator. So that's how it works for all the things in the universe.
Now, when it works for all the things, so we all the ni'mats of Allah, we stand, the entire universe stands in need of all the blessings and to sustain and to survive and to keep on living, we need all the blessings to Allah, from Allah to come continuously. So those blessings also need to come through the causes. Now, what are the causes of the blessings?
Allah, it's already clear from the hadith that Allah never performs his affairs except through the causes. So all the affairs are done through causes. So if he's sending, so we find that Imam of the time is the wasita, he is the means. He is the means of faith, means the blessings of Allah. So all the blessings of Allah comes to the Imam of the time first, being the closest to Allah, and through the Imam, the blessings get distributed to the entire universe according to what people and things deserve to get.
So you get what you deserve, as much as you deserve, when you deserve, how you deserve, you get according to what you deserve through the Imam. The blessings of Allah comes through the Imam. Now people come up and say, well, this is against the concept of Tawheed. Well, this is what Tawheed is. Allah himself is saying he is not running his affairs. He is rejecting to run his affairs without the causes. He himself is informing us through his messenger. What is against Tawheed? And besides, everything is done by Allah. Why are some people objecting on the concept of Imamat? That how can the Imam be the wasitatul fail? Well, you don't find anybody objecting that, well, it is shirk, na'udhu billah, associating partners with the Tawheed of Allah, that you are giving such a big task to the Imam. So why don't the people object about the rain? Isn't that right? Allah is sending down the rain. Is he himself sending down the rain? No. With every drop of the rain, there is an angel with every single drop. Every single drop of the rain, there is an angel which is accompanying that drop.
how many countless drops are falling down on the planet? Nobody can count. How many angels are coming with the rain? Of course, nobody can count. So he's sending down the rain through the angels. The winds are blowing constantly somewhere, isn't that right? Again, all the affairs he rejects to run without the causes. The winds are blowing through the angels. Lightning is happening through the angels. Now, food. We all need sustenance to survive. Coming through Mikael. The angel Mikael is the one who is assigned to bring the food. Now, we find that trumpet will be blown, and that's how the people will get the life back after they die. After their death, they will be resurrected back into the life through the trumpet blown. They will regain the life and get resurrected on the day of judgment. This trumpet will be blown by whom? Israfil. So through the trumpet of Israfil, Allah will give the life back to the entire humanity. Isn't that right? Again, another means, another cause, another wasita. Now we find the wahi, the revelation. Allah sends the revelation. Isn't that right? He sends through Jibreel. Isn't that right? Allah, okay. Allah sends death. Through whom? Through Israel. So everything he's already doing through the means. Why are the people not object? Those people who are objecting on the Imam being the Wasatatul Fayz, why don't they object that if we accept that Jibreel brings the revelation, this is shirk and associating partner with Allah. If we accept that death is brought by the angel of death, Israel, this is also shirk. If we bring that Israfil's trumpet will bring the people back to life on the day of judgment again, this is also shirk. Why don't they say that? Why don't they say the bringing the rain down by the angels is also shirk? Blowing of the winds is shirk. Lightning happening in the world is shirk. Food brought by Mikael is shirk. Why don't they say that? Everything is done by Wasila and Wasita. So why are they objecting on that? So we understand the objection on the Imam of the time is actually not an ideological objection in its nature. Instead, it's a political objection because of their political differences with the rule of the 12 Imams. So the objection is not Islamic or ideological. Otherwise, they would have been objecting on the angel of death, objecting on Jibreel, objecting on Israfil, objecting on Mikael, and so on and so forth. So it's not Islamic. This objection has nothing to do with Islam. It is not an ideological objection. It is an objection which is entirely political. So we learn in the we learn in Zukr al-Khair, in the Ziyarat al-Jama'ah, we have statements which is something similar to this. In Zukr al-Khair, kuntum awwalahu wa akhirahu, something close to this. I don't remember the exact words, but something close to this, that in Zukr al-Khair, kuntum awwalahu wa akhirahu wa aslahu wa far'ahu wa ma'dinahu wa ma'wahu wa muntahahu. Whenever khair and goodness is mentioned, you, Ahlul Bayt, are the beginning of it and the end of it, and the root of it and the branch of it and the mineral of it and the peak of it and the refuge of the blessing of the khair. So basically it comes through you. You are the origin, you are the root, you are the beginning, you are the end. Basically they are the khair. Everything comes from them. And also in Ziyaratul Jami'ah we read, Bikum yumsikullahu as-sama' an taqa'a 'ala al-ard.
بكم يمسك الله الصلاة.
It's through you that Allah is holding the heaven. Not to fall on earth. Illa bi'idhni, except with his permission.
So the heaven, the sky is not falling on earth. The sky could have fallen down on the earth and everything, the life would have been devastated momentarily. Why the sky is not falling down on earth? Because there is an Imam of the time surviving on the planet. And through him, Allah is, through the blessing of the presence of the Imam of the time, the sky doesn't fall on earth and the life remains. Everything is in its place and survives and sustains because the Imam is there. So, Bikum Yunazzalul Ghaith. Actually,
also we read in Ziyarat al Jami'ah that through you Bikum Yunazzalul Ghaith. Ghaith means the rain. Through you, the rain comes down.
The rain is coming down through the Ahlul Bayt. They are the ones who are governing and supervising, executing, and basically managing the arrival of the rain.
So we rightfully find in the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam
that he says that laulallah, in the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says laulallah ma urifna. If Allah was not there, we would not have been recognized. That means nobody recognized us other than Allah. وَلَوْلَا نَحْنُ. And if we were not there, مَا عُرِفَ اللَّهُ. If we were not there, Allah would not have been recognized. That means nobody recognized Allah. Nobody has the ma'rifat of Allah other than us.
So how great is their personality and how great is their role that they are playing in the universe, and the existence of everything else depends on them being the means appointed by Allah himself to execute all his affairs through the Imam of the time. It's such a great task that they are doing and multitasking every moment, billions and trillions of and trillions and uncountable number of tasks the Imam of the time is handling every moment. Uncountable trillions of tasks are handled by the Imam of the time every moment, because everybody is standing in need, demanding and expecting ni'mats and blessings and things to arrive for their survival. And there are uncountable number of things in the universe, existences, uncountable existences with their uncountable needs every moment. And all the needs of all the existences at all times are fulfilled by the Imam. You just imagine how many people are praying to Imam Hussain alayhi salam at any given hour in the whole world. How many people are doing tawassul towards Ahlul Bayt? Somewhere there is a day, somewhere there is a night, somewhere there is an afternoon, somewhere it's evening, somewhere it's morning. But basically people are praying, doing tawassul towards the Imam. And the Imam of the time, if his soul is unable to do the multitasking and handle and listen to all the prayers at all times and answer to all of them and give to all the people what they deserve to get, if he is unable to handle, his spirituality is like our soul, that we get tired after 6 hours or 8 hours of job, we want to go to sleep. No matter somebody calls us, I am sleeping, I cannot take the call any longer. If he is like us, you know, We cannot do nothing, you know, basically like this. So it's unimaginable their highness and the job they are handling, and the things they are performing, and the blessings, uncountable blessings, the uncountable blessings of Allah that they are handling. And not just that, but also delivering those uncountable blessings according to every existence according to what that existence deserves. So in order to judge who deserves what, you need to have ihata. You need to have been encompassing and engulfing every existence, and every existence should be under your command, and you should know every existence inside out, so you know what this existence deserves and what it does not deserve, so that you can give it what it deserves at the suitable time. So this requires your soul to be greater than the universe, and your soul to be encompassing the universe, and everything of the universe should be smaller and falling under the command of your soul. So these are things that we cannot fathom, we cannot measure. We can just talk about that, but the reality of these descriptions we can't imagine. So Imam Sadiq al-Salam rightfully said, "Law lillah ma urifna." If Allah was not there, nobody would have our ma'rifat, in-depth recognition. And if we were not there, ma urif Allah, nobody would have the ma'rifat of Allah. Of course, the Imams don't have these blessings from their own. These are the ni'mat and blessing of Allah upon them, because they deserve those blessings. So, Imam is the wasatatul faiz. That's the fifth reason why we, the human beings, just being a small, tiny member of the global club of existences, we stand in need in our entire existence and receiving all the blessings towards the Imam, just like all the rest of the existences are standing in need of the Imam. You know, so we also stand in need of them, and Imam is serving as the link between the material world, alam al-madda, and the unimaginably greater metaphysical world of ghaib, which we don't know how great it is. World of unseeable realities. So Alamul Shuhud, this is called Alamul Shuhud, and this is called Alamul Ghaib. So Imam is the wasita and means and the link that connects the seeable world with the unseeable world. Alamul Shuhud with the Alamul Ghaib. And if the link is gone, everything in the universe would be devastated momentarily and would be annihilated and destroyed. Because simply there is no reason for anything else to survive. If the Imam, if the most obedient is not there, then nothing else should survive either. So through the wasita of the faiz, we learn how to recognize Allah. So everybody who end up knowing about God, Tawheed and His oneness, is through the Imam, and all the rest of the blessings we get through the Imam, and that's how we strive to become mutakhalliq with the sifat of Allah according to what the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had said in his hadith, that takhallaqu bi akhlaqillah. That means have the attributes, the moral attributes of Allah in your personality. That means we adopt the attributes of Allah and we start reflecting Allah in our spirituality. So all the sifat of Allah are reflected.
We are not that high to reflect all the sifat of Allah, but at least whatever we can, we should strive to work hard to reflect whatever sifat and attributes of Allah. If He is Rahim, we need to be Rahim and merciful as well, upon whom Allah sends His mercy. If He is Qahhar, we also need to send to become the mazhar and reflection of the name of Qahhar of Allah, upon those whom He shows His qahr and ghadab and wrath. If He is Kareem, then we have to be Kareem and generous as well. If He is, Qayyum, which is not possible for a regular person to be the reflection of the name of Qayyum, but of course the Imam of the time is the mazhar of that ism as well. So the bottom line, we need to adapt ourselves according to his sifat by looking at the Imam of the time, because he is reflecting all the attributes, and this is how we are supposed to learn from him and strive to implement the applications and implications of those attributes in our personality. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ